Okay.
Great.
Is that any better? Okay. We have some sound here. Adam, if you can begin there. We're going to be starting with the picture that's the same picture that's on the, our prayer card. And we're going to have a supply of those. We do have a supply at the door. And you can pick one of those up as you would leave. But I want to show you some things about the country. And we start off with our family. Joy and I are on the left-hand side there with our youngest daughter to the far left. Hannah, she is 17 years old, and we left her behind, but she is being attended to by another missionary there. In fact, it's Joy's sister, who is a missionary in the country of Venezuela. And I go back there on Tuesday, and you can pray for Hannah once I go back there and start to do the cooking for her. But we're very glad to have a great bunch of kids, and the spouses are on the right-hand side here. The girl in the center, front row, that's our oldest daughter, Rachel. She's 25 years old, and her husband in yellow. They're in preparation for ministry to the Middle East. They are in their home service time in the city of Chicago. Our daughter, Carrie, with the pink blouse, and her husband, Jeff. Jeff is from Warren, Ohio, and they met at Case Western Reserve University, and they're living in Cleveland and involved in the Metro Alliance Church. Our son is in the middle and back, and he is in Colombia, South America. He loves Colombia. He grew up there, and that is home for him. And he feels very, very much at home there. He is is he a junior or a sophomore? He's junior. He's right on that line, semi. And he wanted to start studies this year, but it just didn't work out for him. So he's not really doing studies this semester, but he will be back at Wheaton in the fall doing studies there. Now, where do we work at? Well, we live in Venezuela, the top country of South America. You can see the Caribbean along the north there, the Atlantic to the right, and Colombia to the left. We just needed to go across the border. We flew across, but our things came from Colombia by way of truck, and we got set up in the city of Caracas. Next slide shows you the country of Colombia. Venezuela. Venezuela is bordered by Colombia. Brazil to the south and Guyana to over here to the right. I'm sorry if I'm blocking. Am I blocking you? Okay. At any rate, across the top, there's a band of population. You don't see many cities down into the other portion of the country, but 85% of the people live there along the top portion of the country, and it's plains area, a little bit of mountain, and then jungle area to the southern part of the country there. Next slide. This is where we work. And the next slide, this is where we live. Not quite. We live a little bit farther away. This is along the coast, and that's what our vehicle fund went for. And these are the people we really minister to. Stiff-necked people. No. We live over the mountain from these areas into the city of Caracas. Caracas is a city of 5.5 million people. It's located in a valley, and so there's not much room to expand and to grow. Many people live in apartment buildings. You can go ahead to the next one, and you can see the various terrain, the buildings. Another one there, please. And as we go down into the city, you'll see that it's a modern city in many aspects. There are good highways, good thoroughfares, a lot of high-rise office buildings and apartment buildings, and a lot of cars. There are more cars per capita in that city than of any other city in Latin America. Do you know why? Not because of everybody has a lot of money, extra money to spend on cars, and they're buying two or three cars. Pastor Bob noticed here, it's the gas. How much do you think the gas costs in the city of in the country of Venezuela? That's too high. I heard 35. It's too high. What? How much?
15.
Too high. Take 2 cents off of it. Yeah. You just want to run a garden hose out there and just pump it in. It's 13 cents a gallon. It's basically a giveaway. It's what they can, what they have to charge or what they do charge. I don't think they, it really even covers the service of getting the gasoline to the car, to the gas station, to the car. But it's 15 cents a gallon. It's great price, 13 cents a gallon. It's a great price, but you see what happens with everybody when they all have the gas and have the cars? You can't go anywhere. So you do have a lot of traffic jams. Rush hour is not rushing a lot of times. They do have modern transit in the city. It serves very well if you're on the route of it. And it's really the wise way to go if you have opportunity to use it. As I mentioned, the city isn't really a valley. There's not much, nowhere to go, not a whole lot of open lots to build on. So people are building up in the city. And there are a lot of high-rise apartment buildings. Joy and I, we live in a high-rise, not really super high. It's only like 7 or 8 stories. But we live on the third floor of an apartment building. And it's very comfortable for us where we live. Some of these buildings are much higher, 20, 30 stories tall. But then you also have the poor housing, like you see up here along the right side. This is invasion areas of the city in which the poor people, they don't have money for housing. They have a little bit of money to buy a few bricks, and they start building, and they have a room. They add on, and they add on, and they add on. They don't have title to the property, but eventually it is declared to be their property. They just kind of eke out a living. Minimum wage is so low in the country. It's only like 50 or 60 cents, U.S. cents an hour. And cost of living for us, it costs a little bit more for somebody middle class down there to live than what it does here. So you see the disparagement, the inequality that does exist within the country. 50% of the people of Venezuela live below U.S. poverty line standards. It's a great inequality within the country. Joy and I and other missionaries that are working in Venezuela are there, though, for the spiritual element. Our ministry is working with the people. And in the city of Caracas in particular, it's one of the most unevangelized cities of Latin America. Probably less than 1%, maybe even 0.5% are Christians within that city. 1 out of 200 people, perhaps, are Christians. That compares to the 4% in the whole country, and 10% for all of Latin America. It's quite a disparagement there in how the people have responded to the gospel, but there are reasons for that. One of the reasons is the spiritism that really pervades the mindset, the spiritual mindset of all of the people of Venezuela, generally speaking. That's the stereotype. There are some that obviously are believers, and I really can't say all. But the spiritism is a mentality that says, if I have a problem, I will go to somebody that really has this connection, that really has some kind of in with the spirit, and they'll be able to help me. They can go to a relative, they can go to a witch, they can go to somebody that's into demonic activity, and they go to these people, and they put their trust in them, and they try to follow their directions. Now, in doing so, they're declaring that this is my primary source for direction, spiritual direction. Now, if you were to do a survey in the country, 90% of the people or more would say that they are Roman Catholic, but in practice, they really only go to the Catholic Church for services, funerals, weddings, etc. And in practice, they are really trusting in the spiritism to be able to help them in their times of trouble. But really, when things are going pretty well, what do? They put on this mindset of secularism. Secularism is very common here. It's the belief that I can do it. With a little bit of help and with a little bit of determination, I can go forward with my life and I can find success. And they believe that the answer lies within themselves. And they aren't looking outside a lot of times to find out or to find help spiritually. So they're really trusting in themselves. But with the social economic climate of the country as it is in these days, people are more and more closed, more and more open to the gospel and giving up more and more on this. And we believe that it's a time in which the people of Venezuela are having an opening to the Lord. an opening that they haven't had before, because they've really trusted in these other things to the point that they really have written off Christianity and the claims of the gospel. But now things are changing within the country. The Christian Mission Alliance has been in the country of Venezuela for 32 years. And over that period of 32 years, we have come to the point of having 11 churches within the country. Two of those are Chinese churches. Nine of them are Spanish-speaking churches. And for a long time, the churches were all pastored by missionaries and pastors from other countries. The situation was such that for somebody to become a pastor in one of the churches there meant that they would have to really lay aside this hope of ever becoming successful in a secular way. And the secularism was pervading their thinking to the point that families felt like this is really putting their family off to the side. But now there are six pastors since the year 2000 that are pastoring in our churches. This is after almost 25 years before that of no alliance pastors within our churches that were Venezuelan pastors. So they had come from other countries to pastor in the country. The work of has been slow within the country, as you can imagine, especially within the city of Caracas. It's been very hard. There's been a lot of resistance, but now the people are starting to open up, and we're confiding in the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord that this is an opening. We come from the country of Colombia, and in Colombia, just to give you a little sidebar, in Colombia, in about the year 1980, there was a spiritual opening in the country, and this happened in other countries of Latin America, but Venezuela seemed to have been passed up. And maybe probably not passed up, but the people were resistant to it. But now, because of the things that are happening in the country, they're becoming more and more open. And we think that there's going to be a visit of the Lord. There's going to be more opening. We're working with the pastors, trying to work with them to help them. Bible Institute ministries such as this. There weren't any students about 10 years ago, a little bit more than 10 years ago. Now we have over 50 students in Bible Institute studies within the country. And the signs are good. Joy and I meet in this party room on Sunday mornings. It's a great place to meet, but we do go to church. We're not avoiding going to church. This is where our church meets. It's in a hotel. We don't have our own church building or a rented facility that we have throughout the week. We rent this party room in a hotel during on Sunday mornings and really Sunday all day. And it's here that we meet as a congregation in the El Marqués Church. The El Marqués Church is a small congregation presently of about 45 people. The pastor is young. This is the pastor and his wife. They do a good ministry within the church. But if you can imagine, you have an idea as having grown up in a church and being people that have attended a church for some time, you have an idea of what it is that a pastor does. Pastors that have not observed other pastors very often are just going it alone. They are really modeling themselves after what must be the model of a pastor, but they don't have models. And so it is that we work alongside them as missionaries and encourage them. And Antonio and Dani are good examples. I'm mentoring him and working along with him so that he can mature in his ministry as pastor. Antonio and Dani work with young people. There's a good group that has not really solidified as we would hope within the church yet. But there's a good group of contacts, and they work with them on a continuous basis to try to solidify that group within the church. Our daughter Hannah and one of the other young people. And the young people like drama. They like music. They're very much into that kind of ministry. They did a Christmas pageant one year, evangelistic, and really enjoy that kind of ministries. Joy and I are involved in just about everything that it takes to get a church started. We've been involved in church planting ministries many times in the past. And really, when it gets down to it, a missionary in church planting needs to be open to doing whatever needs to get done in order that the job does get done. We're involved in the traditional ministries of preaching, teaching, counseling, doing prayer meetings, whatever it needs to, you need to get done, doing visitation. We work also with the couples of the church. The couples are a very core ministry as we see it because of the situation in the country with respect to family. Family is very, very poor in the country the first couple of years we were there, and you may have even read an article in the Alliance Life in January that Joy wrote about father to the fatherless. It's a good example of what happens when the fathers aren't present in the homes. We couldn't do Father's Day celebrations because none of the children that attended the church had fathers even in the home. Not that they didn't attend church. They just weren't present in the home. And it's just such a bad situation. So in order for couples to really become Christian couples, implementing Christian principles for their marriage, they have to go cross current to this. The current says you have a right to to sow wild oats. You have a right to abandon your partner. You have a right to just act like the rest of us do, because that's part of our life. That's who we are as Venezuelans. But if you take that stand as a believer, you have to believe that the Lord's going to support you in it. And you have to, we believe, have a good support system within the church. And so we try to provide that for these people so that they're able to not only so that they're really not going it alone. So they have the support of other believers. But in the process, there's there's always that working, that temptation that they have. And we try to help these couples be able to put some stakes down along the way. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. But you can be in prayer for us in this area of ministry, in this particular church in which we are working right now. Joy has a ministry to ladies in the church, and I'm coming up on it here. I was not waving my hand fast enough. Joy's ministry to ladies has gone very well. And ladies really love to get together, even more than men. And when they get together, they invite their friends and for teas and for social events, for outreach events. And I'm really glad for Joy's ministry in that area. This used to be her team that she worked with. The lady on the far left is not part of her leadership team. But it's really good to see that these ladies working and being working well together, one with the other. And men, you know what gets us out? Get a good breakfast, and we can really come out very quickly. We oftentimes have more men coming to breakfast in our home than come to the church. You can see we don't have many men in the church, we say, but we have all these men here. It's great to have the men get together and start to have contact and start to at least establish some kind of communication with the church, so that when something happens that they might come to us instead of going to other people, a spiritist person or depending upon society's norms to guide them in a situation. It's laying down tracks for them. A lot of times it's working one-on-one with the people, with the men. A lot of times it's being there when they need to have somebody just to listen to them. Joy and I also work with the pastors in the city of Caracas. We're going to be starting in other cities too. Hopefully we have the time and the ability to do that. The need is there. It really is. But we may meet on a monthly basis, and then at least once a month, we meet with these pastors and pastors' wives to be able to touch base with them and to let them bounce their ideas off of us and just give some input, some pointers that we have along the way. It's mentor, coach, work with them so that they're able to improve in their ministries and be more effective. Without having the models, it's very tough for them to go ahead. So to wrap things up, and I have some, I have these prayer requests on sheets, and I'm going to leave those out at the door for you. But there are prayer requests that I have to give to you, and that is to pray for us for a new meeting place. A new meeting place is so costly. For about a place for about 100 people with CE space as well, is about $4,000 a month for something that opens up to the street. We're talking about a bare building, just something that we would be able to have within that city that would be reasonably close to transportation. It's about $4,000 a month for that. And we can't really afford it. The people there can't afford it. But we need some kind of miracle, the Lord to provide for us in that. So do pray for us that we would be able to realize that. Pray for the couples ministries, a ministry that really needs to happen. It's happening to some degree, not only in our church, but in other churches. There are things like marriage encounter, other marriage ministries, marriage counseling that's happening. But we're really, as I mentioned, going against a strong current of society that says that what they are doing is very legitimate, and they can make these kind of decisions that I mentioned. So pray for us with regard to the couples ministry. For the ladies ministry, pray for joy in this area. We're delighted in what's happening. There's some ladies that have really taken off in their walk with the Lord, and they're really anxious to do more in this area, for which we're thankful. But do pray for that. Pray for the men's ministry as well. That hasn't really taken off as greatly as the ladies, but we're trusting that something will be happening there in the very near future. Pray for the pastors and the pastors' wives, their families. Without the examples, with such strong pressure upon them, by families even, their own families a lot of times, it's very difficult for them. So be in prayer for the pastors and their families. For the missionaries in the country, we have 10 missionaries who are assigned to the country. Four of them are Chinese, in Chinese ministries to Chinese churches in the country. We have four missionaries that are assigned to theological education. And then Joy and I are really the only church planting missionaries in the whole country at this time. Pray for our family. Oftentimes, if the enemy can't get to us, he will get to family with missionaries. And pray not just for our family, but other missionaries, the families of other missionaries as well, when you pray for them. And pray for the millions of Caracas, a city that has not been passed over by the Lord. It's a city that's been so resistant to the gospel for so many years. Pray that there will be a moving of the Lord over that city, that these people who are disgruntled by the socioeconomic situation in a moment would not be just lamenting the situation, but would really turn to the Lord, because the Lord's moving them in a great way to look for Him. And help us, pray for us, that we would be able to do the harvest that needs to be happening there. Pray for the establishment of this church, the El Marqués Church that Joy and I work in. As the only church planting couples in that country at this time, we can't really start another work until this one's done. If we continue and don't see our way out of this church to get to another work, we could be there for years. But the need is so great on all sides. Pray that we would be able to efficiently wrap up things there so that we would be able to go on to another project. Pray for new workers who are missionaries, new workers who are nationals, that the Lord would raise those people up. We have a shrinking pool of missionaries, potential missionaries here within the United States. We need to pray for that pool, that it would be increasing, not just humanly speaking, but that the Lord would be really moving people to the mission field, and that we would be those people who are really sending them, identifying with them in their going out to the regions beyond. And then for the nationals themselves, we have seen more people come along. As I mentioned, we have 50 students right now, whereas before we had none about 10 years ago in our Bible Institute. So there is a movement that way, but there is much need, much more need than what we have, what we can supply with these workers that we have. Well, this is Venezuela. It's a beautiful country in many aspects, but really what we are doing is working for the Lord in prayer and in other ministries. It's really a work of the Lord, and we give ourselves to it. We're grateful to be able to go to a beach every now and then. But it's really a ministry of planting churches, working in theological education, working alongside of these pastors, mentoring them, bringing them forward in whatever the Lord has for them in their growth and their maturity. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. As I mentioned, we will have a list that you can take with you of those prayer requests that I just gave to you, along with the prayer cards at the door. And also, it says there at the bottom that we have a prayer bulletin, the Brocker prayer bulletin. If you would like to receive that, you may write that down and send a request to us. Or there will also be a sign at the door, a sign-up sheet at the door, where you can sign up for that prayer bulletin. I'm going to give you a little bit of opportunity now in a transition time to ask any questions that you might have of anything that you've seen here, anything that you've thought of along the way. And then after that, we'll go to the little quiz time that we have. Anybody have any questions? Yes, in the back, way in the back first. The big thing is, it's a cop out on their part that you know, when the going gets rough, I get going, and that's what happens. They start their marriages on shaky footing, and you know, what do? Well, everybody else just bails out. I'll bail out too, and you see men even bailing out, starting another marriage, common law relationship, and then they'll go on from that one. And you have men trying to maintain like 3 households because of this mentality that. This is the way everybody else does it. Over here. Yes. It really doesn't affect our ministry. The rhetoric that flies back and forth between the governments is really going right over us. There has been one missionary group that's been asked to leave the country. But we think that it's Chavez flexing his muscles. It was New Tribes Missions. They were kicked out. And it's hard to say really what the motivation was. But it hasn't really affected any of the other organizations. Perhaps he was just making it known to the U.S. that he could kick us out at any time that he wanted to. But as far as Joy and I working in the country, we have great liberties. We're not limited. We don't have visas, but it's because of everything being semi-legal in a country. It's one of the most corrupt countries of the world. On a list of over, I think there are over 200 countries of the world, like 250 countries of the world. Venezuela is in the top 5 in terms of corruption. We thought we had a legitimate visa, and we just found out before we came that we didn't. But it's a good fake. That's the good part about it. It was so good we were able to come anyhow. Any other questions? Yes.
The spiritualism you talked about, is that something that was carried through from historical times? Is that New Age?
No, it goes back for centuries. In fact, I failed to mention that the most prominent statue in the whole city, in the capital city, you might think there would be a political figure or some conqueror like Simón Bolívar, but it's not. It's a statue of a witch riding on a wild boar, and it's the most prominent statue in the whole country. It's a belief that these people were legendary and that their spirits are available to the people. If they would summon those spirits, they would be able to intercede on their behalf to cause a good result for them. And that goes back for centuries in their thinking in that country.
And this also threatens the Catholic Church.
It's interesting. Catholicism has embraced this instead of trying to overcome it. They have brought it in and embraced it, but the people haven't come in and seen this as really Catholicism. They just see it as a good relationship between the two belief systems, and it hasn't really been swallowed up in one or the other. Yes. Yeah, there are other good mission organizations in the country. There are Southern Baptists, Evangelical Free Church is there. There's a group called Team Expansion, and that is affiliated with the Christian Church, and there are other groups that are there as well. And we compare notes, and we oftentimes share personnel with one another, and we work together there. We have a good relationship with the people, with the missionaries, and with the pastors. Yes? Yeah, they really are. Those that are really deep into it don't want to hear anything about it. They are the worst ones as far as resisting and propagating resistance against the truth, because it's something they have to confront with, and that's how they manage it. But it's interesting, because some of the people, perhaps not the ones who are the spiritual guides and the people that are the witches, but there's a story I'm going to be telling tomorrow night about a guy that came to Christ last May, and he's really been transformed. But he's been a guy that's been really resistant to the gospel for all of his life, but not resistant to Christianity as a religion. But he didn't understand what the gospel was. But when the gospel came to him, it penetrated and it made sense to him. And he just left the Lord have his way. And one thing led to another, in terms of the truth having this kind of effect, And the guy was transformed. So it's not impossible for these people to come to Christ. They bring spiritual baggage with them. But the power of the gospel, it can transform people. And it has transformed this guy's life. Okay, we're going to make a transition now to a little quiz time. And, Pastor, how much time do we have here? I don't know. I'm going to need about 20 minutes for this. Is that okay?
Yes.
The rest of you, are you okay with that? I'll take that as a yes. Okay, I need some volunteers. And I was thinking of all the young people from age 10 to 20. Would you come up here? We're going to do a little quiz thing, and you can have these people here be your helpers for this. But if you come up here, I want you to be coming up here, and I just want to see how many people we have. We may extend this up to 10 to 40. I was going to say 10 to 50, but come on down here. Okay, let's go 10 to 30. Anybody 30 years old? Come on in here. Oh, good job. Good job. Okay. We need some more people, really. Anybody volunteer? Anything? Anybody under 70, they want to join? Come on up here. Anybody who wants to volunteer? Under 70. Above? Well, let's say under 90 that wants to volunteer. I really need, let's see, two, four. I need about four more here. Okay, I'm looking for questions here. This may get shortened quicker than I thought it would. The problem with moving every night and I'm pretty sure they are here. It's just a matter of finding them. What we're going to be doing, here they are. We're going to be doing a little thing that looks a little bit like Jeopardy, but it's a quiz time. I need to have, we have 2, 4, 6, 8. How about if we have two adults, two young people over here. We're going to form two teams. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight is really based upon what we saw in the presentation here this evening. The information is there, and it's going to be kind of a quiz show time. And there is a board behind you, a game board, and it's not going to be like Jeopardy, but we're going to go side to side here. And I need somebody to keep score. Somebody have a pencil and paper? Okay, keep score. And I'm going to have a coin toss to see who goes first.
Where's the map?
Okay. Yeah, where's the map? Okay. I need somebody who is going to be the...